We begin the current daf Masechtas Menachas daf Chav Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Chav Gimel and Beis, on the second line up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with a discussion relating to what we call the Reisha of our Mishnah, which actually the previous two Mishnayos are two halves of a Mishnah, and actually that's a Rashi's commentary of both Mishnayos by the first Mishnah. So the Gemara introduces a discussion that would relate back to the prior Mishnah daf Chav Beis and Alf. Says the Gemara, Kisalik Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechinu lebnei Reb Chiya deyasve v'ka'amri. He encountered the sons of Reb Chiya, who was sitting and saying the following discussion. Isarin shecholku, Isarin is a tenth of an eifer, that's the amount of flour that's usually brought with a regular mincha. If that Isarin, that tenth, was divided into two halves, and as a continued topic of Dalman Alf, v'nichui v'visa, and they placed it into this vessel, which is where they would mix the flour offering. That was the vessel where the flour was put into. Now, these two halves that were put into the vessel are not touching each other. And v'noga tful yoyim ba'achad mehen, someone that's a tful yoyim who was tameh, but then immersed himself that day, but's not yet totally purified because he didn't have sundown yet, he touched one of the halves of the isarn. Ma, what's the halacha? Do we say that the other half will become tameh or not? What's the question? Says the Gemara. Kitnan, when we learned in the Mishnah in Chagigah Daf Chof from Abayis, that kli mitzarf mash b'toich l'kodesh, that a vessel actually combines what's inside of it regarding the laws of kachim. In other words, if a tful yom touches part of it, he will actually contaminate all of the contents of the vessel, even though he's not touching that. Says the Gemara, Hanamili, maybe that was only said hecha denagi ba'adadi. If at least all the pieces are touching each other. So although he doesn't touch that piece, but the piece that he's touching is touching that part. But where they're not touching each other, they're just all in the same vessel, then actually maybe it's not going to be contaminated. No, maybe it doesn't make a difference. And even if it's not touching the other piece, if it's in the same vessel, when he contaminates one of them, all of them will be contaminated. Now, the reason why the question was said specifically regarding a tvul yoyim is because the tumah of a tvul yoyim is not so severe to continue further and devolving, which, let's say, if someone is an ava tumah and then they immerse himself. But then, if he's a tumah, he makes the first thing you touch a rishon. Then that touches something else makes that into a sheni. Because if he was a different tumah, then why would you need the kli to combine it? It would simply have the thing that he touched would then be metame the kli, and the kli would be metame other things. But since he's a tefil yoyim, he only could do what's called pisul. He could only invalidate. He cannot be metame. So it's only what he touches will become tame. Even what's that touching something else is not going to become contaminated further down to be a sheni, shlishi, revi. That's not going to happen. So the question is, but regarding the law of the Mishnah Masechet Chagigah, that the vessel combines it, do we say that what he touches is like he's touching all of them because it's in the same vessel? Or maybe that halacha was only said if at least all the pieces are touching. So though it wouldn't be because it's going from one to the next like regular tumah goes, but at least that would allow us to say the halacha of Kli Mitzarf, or maybe it doesn't even have to touch. So Amalohu Ihu, so Rav Kahana said to them, Mitnan Kli Mechaber, does the Mishnah Chagigah say that the vessel joins them? That would have sounded like that they're touching, and just the vessel joins them to make them as if they're one, meaning to say that if you make this one tummy, that this other one also becomes tummy. Doesn't say kli mechaber, kli mitzarev tnan. It says that the vessel combines them. Sounds like they're not even touching, and that the vessel is going to combine them as if they're touching to become one, which is kaldu. Therefore, no matter whatever the situation is, even if they're not touching, the halacha is going to be that the vessel is going to combine them, and if the tefillin touches one half of the isarin, the other half will actually become tummy, even if they're not touching at all, as long as they're in the same vessel. So they continued asking the sons of Reb Chiya, Haishid, if let's say the person goes and he stretches out a half of the isarin of Echad, lebeinehen, between these two halves of the Isarin. You have an Isarin which is separated into two, like we said before, they're both in the same vessel. Then, a person comes along and takes a third half of Isarin, and he places it between these two halves. Ma, what's the halacha? If the tefillin touches that middle piece, and it becomes tummy, will it also make the other two halves of that original mincha to become tummy because the kli is mitzarv, that they're all together? So Amalahu, so Rav Kahana said to them, no, Sarech l'kli, something that needs the vessel, kli mitzarfei. Then that's what Allah and Mishnah Masechet Chagigah says regarding the laws of Kodesh, the vessel combines them. But ain't Sarech l'kli, but if something doesn't need the vessel like this, third half of Isarin, which doesn't need the vessel because it's not combining with these other two halves to make one mincha. It's not related. A mincha is only one Isarin. Here he brings another half. It doesn't need the vessel. So actually, in Kli Mitzarfei, the vessel is not going to combine them, and those first two halves are going to remain tar because this third half is not combining with them because there's no relevancy to the vessel for the vessel to combine it with the other two. So they ask the third question. If a tful yom goes and he stretches out his finger in the air space between these two halves. Now he doesn't touch the halves of the flour, he doesn't touch the vessel, he just sticks his finger in between them in the air. Ma, what's the halacha? So Rav Kana said to them, Ein lecha davar shemitamei ma'avira, there's nothing that contaminates from the air space. The one exception halacha is an earthenware vessel, then it becomes tummy from the ear space, but nothing else does, and therefore if he sticks his finger in the air, it's not going to contaminate nothing, not the two pieces, nothing is going to become tummy. Now, Hadar Ihu Bayiminayu, now that he answered them those three questions, continuing on this theme, he asked them the following question. Mao likmitz mizelze, what's the halacha? Can you take the kmitza, which is the fistful of the isarin, to go, which is burnt on the mizbeach, can you take a kmitza from one half on the other half? What's the question? So he explains. Tziruv dai raisa, do we say that the law of combining them is biblical, like the Gemara Chagiga and the Chav Gimel and Alf brings that the pasuk says kaf achas, one spoonful, which is the Torah makes all those separate granules that is in the same spoon as if it's one, and therefore wouldn't make a difference as a stringency like the Mishnah says in Chagiga regarding Toma, and it wouldn't make a difference like he's asking even regarding Lekula, for example, a Kemitza. It's as if they're touching, and it's a bona fide Kemitza because it's from one entity, one unit of a holy sarin because the vessel is combining them. Or maybe the law is only rabbinic, and therefore, as a stringency, like the Mishnah in Chagiga is saying regarding Tuma, for that will make him as one. But not as a leniency to consider as if it's one entity of an Isarin to make a valid kmitza on one half, that it should work for the other half. So Amrulai, so the sons of Rabbi Chiya said to him, Zulay Shemanu, we didn't hear an answer for the question you're asking, but Kayetza B'Shemanu, but we heard something similar that we could resolve the question from. Does not like within the Mishnah, our Mishnah in this way relates back to the Mishnah of Chav Beis and Aleph. The Mishnah says, Shnei Menachos Shaloi Nikmetsu, if you have two flour offerings that didn't have the kmitza taken from it yet, and the Sarfa Zubazu, and then the two Menachos get mixed one with the other. So the Mishnah said, Im Yochel Likmets Mezu Bifnei Atzma, U Mezu Bifnei Atzma, if you could take off, there's enough that's not mixed one with the other, that you could take off a kmitza from each mincha individually, which at this point, the Gemara understands this to mean that you have a kmitza worth that's separate from even its own mincha on one edge. And you have the other one also, that a kmitza worth that's separated from its own mincha that's not with the part that's mixed with the other menachis. Then, says the Mishnah, ksheres, it's going to be valid because you'll have that kmitza worth of each one to sacrifice, even though the rest of it is mixed together. But if there's not enough of each one individually to make sure you have a kmitza only misolta of its flour, then it's going to be a problem because you're not going to have a full kmitza of only that mincha. It's going to be invalid. But says the Gemara, says the sons of Reb Chiya, now, kiyachal likmitz mir ksheres. But we said, but if you could go ahead and you have enough to take a kmitza, it's going to be valid. Amai why? Hach de ma'ariv holoi noga. But what do you mean? The part that's mixed with the other mincha is not touching the kaimitz part. Like we explained, the Gemara is assuming this part, that it's totally separate because the rest would be part of what's mixed with the other mincha. And yet still it's saying that it's kasher. Obviously, how's it kasher? The kemitza part is not connected to its own mincha, to the rest of its isarin. And you have to take it from misolta. Obviously, it's because we consider the halach of tziruf that it's in the same vessel as if it's combined, as if it is touching, and that's why it's going to be valid. So you see that regarding your question, that tziruf is deraisa, even as a leniency regarding the laws of kmitza, regarding like the case you asked regarding these two halves of the isarin. So Rava, he says, no, dilmam, maybe it's not that the kmitza is totally independent, not touching the rest of its own isarin, that which is part of that is mixed together with the other mincha. Maybe begushin hamechulakin, yes, the clumps are separate because the rest would be part of the other part, which is mixed with the other part, which is the whole problem. But it's hasuin kemasrik; it's made like a comb, which is that the parts of the mincha are separated. Where if one would take like the teeth of a comb, where the teeth are separate from the other ones, and therefore there's a kmitza part that's separate from the rest. But in the other part, the top end of the comb, every teeth is touching the other part. It's connected through the end part like a comb. So it's connected, and it's only that on the teeth that they're separate. So yeah, it's separate. So you have a kmitza worth that you see is individual from the mixed up part, but it's still connected, it's contiguous, and therefore it's not a problem of saying that, oh, you see a proof that it's going to connect it, it's combining, it's not combining, it's touching. It's just a separate enough to see that it's its own entity to take a kmitza full, so therefore it doesn't resolve the question that he had asked to see, oh, it's going to combine even for kmitza, even though it's not touching, because it actually is touching. So says Gemara Samai Havala. So what was the conclusion regarding this question that Rav Kahana had asked them regarding these two halves of the Isarin that are totally separate? Can you take a kmitza, because they're one mincha, they're one Isarin, but they're not touching. Can you go take a kmitza from one half and the other half because of tzir of kli, as if the vessels combining them as if they're actually one as a leniency? So Amar Rav, he says, Tasham, let's bring a raya from the following brice. The time, like within the brice, it says the pasuk miyikra, veheirim mimenu, that you should take koimtzai, you should take off the fistful from it. What does that mean? It says the brice, minamachubur, that means it has to be connected. Shalayavi isarin bishnei kelim biyikma. So you shouldn't bring the tenth of the eva, which is the amount of flour of the mincha, in two different vessels, and take a kmitza, because it has to be connected. Says Rava, habekli echad dumi d'shnei kelim. But if it's in one vessel that's similar to two vessels, for example, when the two halves are not touching each other, so it's like two vessels, but it's really one vessel, sounds like then kometza, you would be able to take the kmitza. Because what's the case, the Bryce is saying? Two total different vessels. If it would be problematic if they're not touching even one vessel, you should have said even a bigger chiddush, even a bigger novelty in halacha. Obviously, that would be valid because the kli would be mitzarfet, even lekula, because it's zayraisa. And that Amalei Abaye says no. Dimashnei kelim hechadami. Maybe the case that the brice is invalidating when it's coming in two different vessels, I'll explain to you what that case is talking about. Kagain kafiza bekava. For example, if let's say you have this vessel that's a kafiza, which is 3/4 of a kav, that's in another vessel that's in the entirety of a kav. So for example, let's say he carved out a smaller measurement size in a larger measuring vessel. And then he puts the half of the sarin in the inner vessel, and then the other half is in the outer part, in the larger vessel. Now, that's where the Bryce is saying that would be invalid, because the avagav darivi, because even though the two halves are connected, it's one clump of flour. They're connected mi'iloi on the top, where over the top of the vessel, the two halves of the sarin are connected. But kiven de mifsik michitzasa de kefiza mitato, since, however, the wall of the inner, smaller measurement is separating from the bottom, where you can't say that what's the excess part that's mixed together over the two vessels, that's connected. And that says, and the gears is, loy, no, because since they're not mixed, they're not connected in the airspace of the vessel, even in the outer vessel, because it's over the walls, that's going to be puzzle. That's what the Brisa says. We don't consider them as connected. However, on that is what the inference is. But kli echad dumi de beis kelim. If you have one vessel that's similar to two vessels, that yeah, that's the inference that we're making from the Brisa, that would be valid. Heichad dumi, what would that case be talking about? Similar to the case we just described with the two vessels, that is a problem, but less problematic and therefore valid. Kegain arivasa shatar negailin. For example, like the trough of the chickens, which is that where they eat from, where there the middle wall that separates the compartments is a smaller middle wall, which is just there to separate for them their liquid, their drink, their water from the bran that they eat. Now that's a lower wall, and that wall doesn't reach up all the way to the edge in the height of the entirety of the trough. Oh, that's why, therefore, v'avagav demifzik and michitzasa, even though there's a wall separating them, that's not considered separation because honegiya, because they're touching over the middle wall, and that two halves are in the airspace of the outer wall. So that's why, that's the inference of the Braisa, that would be considered combined. Aval hocha, but over here it says Abaye regarding this bisa, this vessel where we're having these two halves of the sarin, where the two halves are totally separate. Delay negiya klal, they're not touching at all. Tiboy lach, you could still have the question to say maybe they're not going to be considered connected. There, the one vessel that's like two is not saying that, oh, because they're totally separate. No, they're connected. And the reason why it's different than the two vessels, which even the two vessels is one inside the other, there the height of both walls are the same. So when it's connected, it's over the ear space of the vessel. It can't combine. Here in the one that's like two, the middle wall is lower. And therefore, when they're connected, they're still in the ear space of the outer vessel. That's why it's going to be connected. But there's no raya regarding when they're not touching at all. If the halacha would be like you want to ask regarding the kmitza of one half to take on the other half. So the Gemara continues similarly, by Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Continuing on this topic, says regarding this half of a sarin, we're saying that there's two halves of the sarin in the same vessel. Continue on that same case. So he's discussing a case in his question, if one half of the sarin became tamei, how? Through tziruf kli, through the other half. Like we said, if a tefillin touches one half, then we say that the vessel combines them, and then it makes the other half tamei. So his question is, what's the halacha? Could it go ahead now and be metame another half of a visarin through v'chibur mayim, by being connected through water? So for example, if let's say there are these two halves of the visarin in the vessel, like we said, they're not touching. Then there's another half of visarin out of the vessel, which is being connected by water, either through a stream or some other way that the water connects the half that's out of the vessel to the one that's in the vessel. So we have three halves. Then a tummy touches the half that's in the vessel, which is not touching the water. So we said that the other half becomes tummy because of tziruv kli. Mahu, what's the halacha? Will the one half that's on the outside become tummy from the half that's inside because it's connected to that half, which became tummy from the first half, through the combination of water? What's the question? So explains Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Kitznan, when did we learn that Mishnah Chagiga we mentioned before, that Kli Mitzarev Mashah B'Teichel HaKadosh, that the vessel combines what's inside of it, even though it's not touching for the laws of Kadshim? Maybe Hanamila de Gavai. That was only for something that's inside, that what's in the vessel itself, the Tumah of the other one will be able to make that other half Tumah. Avadavroi Lai. But regarding what's on the outside, you can't consider that as part of the inner one to become tummy from being in the same vessel as the first one, because it's not inside the vessel. And therefore it's not going to become tummy the outer one, even though it's connected to the inner one through water. Oy Dilma, maybe no. Kibin the Mechaber, since the outer one is connected to the inner one through the connectivity of the water. So Mechaber, so it's connected, and the outer one will become tummy. Continues Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Ve'im Tim Slima, and if you want to say Kivin Mechaba Mechaba, yeah, since it's connected. So the outer one is connected to the inner one, which the inner one became tummy from the other half of the inner one, and therefore will become tummy. But then the question is, let's say the other way around. Chibur Mayim v'tziruv kli, which if let's say the outer half became tummy. So therefore, the other one that's in the vessel, which is connected to it through water, that's why we're starting off Chibur Mayim, you have the connectivity of water, where the outer one that became tummy is connected to the inner one that became tummy. And then you have Vitziruv Kli. Then you have, oh, well now what's with the other half, which is inside, that they combine through the water, which the Girsa takes out the next four words, V'naga Tful Yemi Bachutz, which is trying to describe that how the first half became tummy on the outside, which again, then through the water makes the inner one tummy. Now, what's the halacha? That the other half should become tummy from the inner half, which became tummy from the water on the other outer half, to be combined through the vessel. And that is, do we say kitznan? When did we learn that Mishnah Kli Mitzarev that the vessel combines it? Hanamila dinoga megavoi. That's only for something that it touched on the inside. In other words, that's not going to help the combination of tumma, only for something that a tumma that happened in the vessel itself. Of mevroi loy. But if the tumma emanated from something on the outside, meaning the half on the outside became tummy. Now, the one on the inside will become tummy because it's connected through water, but it cannot make the other half that's in the inside that didn't touch anything to be combined with the tummy that it got from something outside. A demolition, no, maybe it doesn't make a difference. No, the inner one's tummy, although because it's connected to something on the outside, but it's tummy, and now the vessels are combined into the other one to become tummy too. So it's going to take a little stance, not clear what the answer would be in that question. By Rava had the following question. Again, Isarin Shachalku, the same type of a case regarding a tenth of a Eifa, the amount of a Mincha that was divided into two. V'nitma Echad Mehen. Now, one of the two halves became Tame. And then, subsequently, V'hinichai, he put in both halves, after one half already had became Tame, Bevisa, into this vessel. Now, they're not touching. Now, so regarding up until now in this case, it's most definitely that the vessel will not combine them, that it should now go ahead and transmit tumma to the other half that it's not touching. Because it wasn't in the vessel at the time that it became tumma, and therefore for that, the law is not going to combine it in the laws of tumma. It has to be that they were both there, and then the tumma touched one half, then the vessel will make it like it touched the other half. Here it was already tumma beforehand. It's even though they're being put now into the same vessel, it's not going to make the other one tumma. But the case continues. V'chazet tful yayim. Then after now they're finally the two halves, one that was tumma ready, one that wasn't. Now it's tful yayim goes. V'nagu ba'isa tumma. It touches the half that was already tumma. Oh, ma'u, what's the halacham? Will we say that this half will get the tumma from the tful yayim, so that now that it's becoming tumma in the vessel, it will invalidate the other part that's not being touched because of the kli's mitzarif, mashe b'teich l'kodesh? What's the question? Says the Gemara as follows. Mi amrina, do we say, sava lo tumma? What do you mean? The first half is already satiated with tumma. It's already tumma. So it can't go ahead and become tumma again from the tful yayim. Maybe we say, no, it's not satiated from tumma. Yes, it's tummy, but now it's becoming tummy again. And now the second one is becoming tummy. It's in the vessel with the other half. And then the other half will become tummy. So Amalei Abaya said to Rava, who was asking this question, says, Umi Amrinan Savalei Tumma, do we say this concept of the being satiated with tumma, and therefore that was your question. Do you say Savalei Tumma or not? So he says, I can prove to you that we don't say Savalei Tumma. And therefore it's obvious that the other half will become tummy because it's becoming tummy again right now. Because what's now we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Kehilah, and it says as follows: Sadin Tamei, regarding a bedspread that's Tamei as a Ketintam and Bey's Medris. It became Tamei from a Medris, which is the law when the Zav lays on a sheet on the bed, it becomes an Avatama from a Zav, which is a unique halacha when the Zav lays on something. But then Vaasli Vilan, they made the bedspread into a curtain, meaning they hung it up in front of an entryway, and that's where they put it. It's no more a bed sheet, it's now a curtain. So says the Tanakama, Tarmina Medris. It's now been purified from the 12 medras, and it's not going to go ahead now and be metame adam anymore, because when it's tame medras, it's an avatama where a person could become tame from that. Now, it's not a medras tumma anymore. It lost that tumma, because it's not made for laying down anymore. And if it's not made for laying, it cannot have the tumma of medras. Like the Gemara says in Chagiga Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, something that's designated for sitting could contract the tumma of medras. Which excludes a case when if they tell him, hey, get up, we have to do work with this. It's not meant for sitting on it. That doesn't have tumas medras. Aval tumma maga medras. But it will still have the tumma of somebody that touched a tumas medras, which therefore makes it into a rishon latumma, where, yeah, although it's not anymore somewhere it's laid on, but the fabric itself touched itself, where that was a medras, which was a avatumma. Now, so it's not anymore a medras, but it touched the medras, and therefore it's a rishon, which is like anything that touched a medras. So therefore, it didn't lose that tumma. So it will still be metame food and drink, which could become tumma from a rishon latumma, like anything that touched a medras. And that Rabbi Yisi disagrees. He says, "Be'ez a medras nagazah." What do you mean? Which medras did this bedspread touch? And as Tais explains, what do you mean? It doesn't hold that it touched it as itself, because that's tumas beis hasasar. When something that's it's invisible, that contact, that's not considered contact. So he holds that's not how it could become. Where he agrees, it loses tumas medras, and so he says it cannot become tumas maga medras either. Eli says rather what ends up happening when it's turned from a bedspread into a curtain is she'im noga boy hazav. If before it was made into a curtain, there was two tumas on this bedspread. It had tumas medras, because the zav sat on it. And it also had tumas maga, where if the zav had touched it, he didn't sit on it, he also touched it. Now, although it's been becoming tahar from tumas medras, so it's not going to be metami a person or a vessel anymore, because it's not anymore something that's laid on, but it will retain tumas maga hazav. It will retain the tumas that, because the zav had touched it, which is this curtain is still something that Azab could touch, well, it will still transmit tumma to food items and to beverages. Now, says the Gemara, Kinoga by Hazab miyatame. But when we said that if the Zab touched it, it will become tame, also not just tumas medras, but also tumas maga medras. And sounds like Rafa Lebesayf. Even after the Zav had already slept on it and sat on it, that it became Tumas Medras, still we say that the Tumas Maga will take effect on it, where that if, let's say, it's turned into a curtain and will not be Tumas Medras anymore, it will still have the effectiveness of being Tumas of Maga Medras. Whereas the parenthesis says Kitami Medrash v'achakach Maga Hazav. But on that the question is, Amai, but why? According to you, Rava, where you said you're not sure, Lema Savale Tuma. What do you mean? Say it already been satiated, already absorbed, already Tumas Medrash. It's already more than Tumas Maga. It's already full. It can't go ahead and become Tummy again, especially with something less than that. Obviously, you see that you don't say Savale Tuma. That Amali Rava said to him, no. How do you know to understand what Rabbi Yisrael was saying? That it was saying that when will it be tummy magazav, when it's turned into a curtain? If the zav touched it, who says that that's labasa medrash? Who said that's talking about after a zav had already sat on it? Dema mekmei medrash. Maybe Yisrael was talking about that when did the zav touch it? Before he sat on it, and then he went and sat on it. Oh, well, here you can't ask. Oh, it was already satiated with tuma because the havi tuma chamur al tuma kala. Because that's not satiated already. That's yet yeah, it could become more tummy, which makes it into a high level of tumma. From a reaching to amma tumma, it's a more severe tumma on a lighter tumma, which that could take effect. Avalocha, but over here by the two halves of the isarin, the idvi, where both of them, the first one and the second one, are tumma kala. The first time it became tummy and the second time it became tummy, once when it was out of the vessel and the second time when it was in the vessel, are the same type of light tumma, let's say it's a tumas eichlin. And they're both the same type of a tumma. So lai, maybe I would say that no, it cannot take effect. You're right, over there it's not sava because it was actually upgrading the tumma. But here it's the same thing, tumas eichlin again, tumas eichlin. So it's not going to make a difference. Maybe you would say sublay tumma, and therefore there's no raya. So Ella rather says, Abaya, mi seifa. No, from the end of that Mishnah is where I want to ask, where you could learn that you don't say Savalei Tama. Because it says that Maidra B'yesi. B'yesi agrees, although he disagreed in that previous case, he agrees that B'shnei Siddinin HaMakufalin, because he disagreed, he says that when you just sat on it, it's just gonna, you can't have Magazav. It's going to have only Medrash, which you lose. Maga has to be that it also touched it. But he agrees, B'shnei Siddinin HaMakufalin, if you have two sheets that are folded over, Menachin Zalzeh, and they're laying one on the other. V'yashav Zavalei, and then the Zav sits on top of them. Sha'elyon Tumi Medrash, so the other one, the top one is going to have Tumas Medrash. Now, Batachten, this is where he agrees that just by sitting, it could actually get both Tumas, is the bottom one is going to be Tumi Medrash. Because the halacha tells us that even if there's 10 bedspreads, one beneath the other, and they're all tummy madras, it's that the zav is considered as if he sat on all of them. Umaga madras, this is where he agrees that the bottom one is also going to have not just tummy madras, but also that somebody that touched the madras, because it touched the upper sheet. So although he disagrees in the sheet itself, but if it touched another sheet, which is the top sheet, which is madras, the bottom sheet becomes maga madras, which the difference is, what I mean, if it's already Tummy Medrash, what does it need to become Maga Medrash, like we said? Where if the bottom sheet becomes into a curtain, so although it's going to be tar for Medrash, but it's still going to have the Tummas of Maga Medrash. On that, Asabaya, but Vamai, but why? Lema Savale Tumma, what do you mean? Say it's already satiated with Medrash, how does the bottom sheet also become Maga Medrash? It's already satiated. Obviously, you don't say that. To which Rava says, no, Hasim Bavas Achas. There it happened simultaneously. So you don't say Sava. At the same moment, when he sat on it, the bottom sheet became Medrash and Maga Medrash. But Hacha Bezeh Chazeh, my case that I'm asking regarding when you have the two halves of the Isarin, where first it became, one half became Tamei on the outside, and then it became Tamei again on the inside, where it was not simultaneous, it was consecutive. There, it's maybe you would say that it is Sava from Tumma, and it can become Tumma again. It already has Tumma Zeichlin, and therefore the question was not resolved. Continuing on these halachas, Amar Rava, he says, Isarin Shechalkum. Again, if the Isarin was split into two halves. V'avad Achimhen, now one of the halves got lost. V'hifash Achar Tachtav, so they had to supplement it now, and they separated now a new third half to take the place of that second half that got lost. V'nimtza Rishon, and subsequently they found that first half that got lost. Now, V'arei Shlashtin Menachem Mevisa, now you have all three halves that are placed into the same vessel where they mixed the flour offering. Now, so says Rav as follows, says, Nitma Avud, if the half that got lost became Tameh, now Tvoyim touches it, Avud V'Rishon Mitztarfin, the lost half, which is the one that became Tameh, and the first half that was always there, they combine, meaning the vessel combines them, and the first half will become Tameh, because of the lost half through the vessel combining them. Because that first half that got lost was part of that initial mincha, so we consider as that the vessel needs it, it's considered the same mincha, which the kli will be mitzarif, that first half to become tummy from it. Now, but mufrish, the half that had been separated to take the place of the lost one, a mitzvah, will not combine to become invalidated from that half that became tamei, because it wasn't separated with the intention of being combined with the lost one. It was only with the first one. So the lost one that's now that became tamei has nothing to do with that separated one, and therefore that separated one is not going to become tamei. Now, nitma mufresh, let's say the separated one became tamei. So says Rava, Mufrish Varishan Mitztarfen. So the separated one and the first one, they combine, because that's what they were separated for, to be combined with that first one. But Avadein Mitztarfen, the lost one does not combine, because that had no relationship at all at any point in time with the one that was separated to actually take its place, and therefore it's not going to become Tamei through the Kli Mitztarf of that Mufrish one becoming Tamei. And Nitmarishan, let's say the first one, the one that was always there, that half became Tamei. So Shnei Mitztarf, and then they both combine because they're all related in some way to that first one. One that was the initial partner, and the second one was the subsequent partner. Abayami, he disagrees. He says, no, Afila Nitma Echad Mehnami, if any one of the halves become Tamei, Shnei Mitztarf, and they're both going to combine. He says, my Tem, what's the reason? He says, because Kulu B'nei Biksa Da Hadadi Ninu. Some type of a metaphor. Biksa means Bei Oksa, a very narrow home. I mean, They're all partners in this house, because they all ultimately are coming from the same mincha. So though, yeah, one was the initial partner, one was the second partner, one was the one that was always there, but they're all related, and therefore, if any half becomes tamei, the kli is going to tarif all of them, and they're all going to become pasul. Now, says Rava, b'chein le'in kemitza, says the same halacha applies to the kemitza, where we have these three halves over here. Now, we have an isaron over here somewhere. We actually have an extra half over here, but we have to take over kemitza, which is then used to go ahead and burn on the Mizbeach, and then the rest are Shirai. Says Rava, so the same thing is regarding the Kemitza. If Kametz min Avod, if let's say he ends up taking the Kemitza from the original half that got lost, that then they found, so Shiyarov Verishan Nechalon. So its remnants, and the first half that was always there, they could be eaten, because that was an Isarin over here, but Mufresh in Nechal, the one that was separated to take its place, that cannot be eaten from, because a kemitza, a mincha, only works for a nisaron. This is an extra half. The kemitza is not working for that half. Kametz min ha-mufresh. Let's say he ends up taking the kemitza from the new separated one. So shiyarav v'risho nechalon. So its remnants and the whole first half could be eaten, because we consider it as the vessel because combining them. But avrei nechal, the one that was originally lost, cannot be eaten, because that's the odd one out. Kametz min rishon, let's say the kohen takes the kemitza from the original first one that was always there, so shnei min nechalon, so both cannot be eaten. Why? Because both of them, whichever one they need, they both need to the initial kemitz of the first one. Now, like we said, the kemitz only permits an isarin. Now, so that half that was separated from it, and meaning from the one that was originally there, and one of these other halves, the kemitz is going to work for. But now, since we don't know which half it is that it's working for, so you can't eat either one. Because you don't know which one is the one. Is he working with the mufresh one? Is he working with the ovid one? It's working with one of them, but you don't know which one, so you can't eat them. But it's the original one that you take the kemitz from. It's working with one of the halves, but you don't know which one, and therefore it's not going to. It's going to be combined with one of them, and therefore the kemitz is going to work. But it's, you can't eat either one of them, because you don't know which one's the odd one out. Abayama, he disagrees here too. He says, no, Afila Kametz Me'echad Mehen, even if you take the kemitza from any one of those three, Shneim En Nechalan, the other two cannot be eaten from. My time, what's the reason? So he says the same Svirara. He says, Kulu Namim B'nei Bixed Adadin, they're all considered one. And therefore, since you don't know which one is working with what, and they all have the same relevancy, so you can't eat from any one of the other two, because you don't know which one that it's working for. This one you know, that you're taking the kemitza from that one you know, but the other two you don't know, and therefore you can't eat from any one of those two, even if it's the original half, that's one of the other two. Now, Maskevel Rav Papa asked in the conceptual understanding of Abaya, and even one of the cases of Rava, he says, Vishirayim Didei, but what do you mean? Even the leftovers of the half of the Sar in the first one that you're separating the Kemitza from, so that you're saying, okay, but me and Nechalon, there everyone agrees, from that one that you take the Kemitza from, oh, that one, its Shiraim could be eaten. And that is Rav Papa, but there is a sixth of the Kemitza which is not being sacrificed. What does that mean? Because you have over here a third of the Kemitza which is not really working, it's not significant. Why? Because there's another third of a half of Isarin that's here. Because like we said, all three halves need to come on to this kaimitz that should be working for it. Now therefore, this kaimitz ultimately is going to be missing a third. because a danka, which is a sixth, is going to be for each one of the two halves of the Isarin, which are being validated with the mincha, because if the koimetz is really only working for the Isarin, which are for two halves. The problem is that, but there is a third half that's also part of this relationship. So it's taking away a third, which we're calling a sixth, because each one of the two halves split that third, which makes it into a sixth, which are not working for them, because it's working for the third one, which is not making it effective, because it's not really working for that third one, but they're all together. It's similarly, Maskev le Rav Yitzchak Berei de Mershasha, he also asks a similar question. He says, how could you even sacrifice the koimetz itself? A third of that koimetz is chulin. Why? Because the koimetz is working for all three halves. Now, a mincha is not three halves of an isarin. It's only two halves of an isarin for one isarin. So that means the third one out that it's working for is actually chulin. So you're actually missing from the koimetz a third. Now, on both of these questions, Rav Ashi Amar, he says that, no, those are not difficult questions. Because since, ultimately, he's taking a koimetz of only one of these three halves, koimetz, when the koimetz is happening, b'dayta the koyin tal yimilsa, it's the koyin who does the koimetz. So it's contingent on his consciousness. But koyin ki koimetz, when the koyin does that festival, isarin ki koimetz, he only does the koimetz for one-tenth, for two halves. So then when he does the kemitza and that's being sacrificed, so the leftovers of that first one that he's taking from, that for sure could be eaten. Now, the other two cannot be eaten because we don't know exactly which one of the other two halves that the kohen is combining with that he had in mind to permit that with the kemitza, but ultimately, says Rav Ashi, he is only having in mind two halves. We're not saying that a third of the kemitza is chulin or that it's each one is missing a sixth because a third of it is going towards that third piece. No, the kohen's not having in mind the third half. So although it's in the same vessel, it's not going to be related to the kemitza that the kohen is doing. He's only having in mind two halves. We don't know which two. We know for sure the one that he's taking from is part of it. So that shiraim you could eat, and it's not considered that it's missing. The other two, we don't know which one of the two that he had in mind. Therefore, you can't eat it. But of course, it's only being done with one of the two and not with all three. And that's why it's considered a bona fide kemitza, and that it's going to be permitting, at least for sure, the kaimitz, the shirayim of the kaimitz itself that he took from.